WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Two sources tell CBS News Stormy Daniels will take the stand at Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York today. CBS's Katrina Kaufman is at the courthouse.
Pivotal witness in this case because the payments at the center of these charges against former President Donald Trump are related to a payoff to Stormy Daniels. She was an adult film star that Trump allegedly had an affair with back in 2006.
CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum says her testimony could be pivotal for the prosecution.
Perhaps Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump had pillow talk where he spoke of his desire to become the president of the United States and absolutely needed her to keep their relationship under wraps.
Among other potential prosecution witnesses who have yet to testify, Mr. Trump's former fixer, Michael Cohen. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A judge is throwing out a lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's new wolf management plan. Animal rights advocates accuse the Natural Resources Board of meeting without a quorum and collecting extra comments on the wolf plan from groups it supported. Judge Stephen Elke says the open meetings law doesn't apply to the meetings in question. Wisconsin could see a $90 million impact when the NFL draft comes to Green Bay next year. Tourism officials say it's important the benefits of the big event extend far beyond Titletown.
Making sure people know where they're going, know the good spots to eat, can get around well, and are, you know, really excited to come back.
Nick Meisner is with Discover Green Bay. He spoke at WYSN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Chippewa County Public Health Department is looking to add more public health vending machines filled with things like fentanyl test strips and Narcan nasal spray. The public health vending machines have been popping up across the state following a $36 million lawsuit victory against pharmaceutical companies. Of that money, $800,000 was set aside as grant funding for municipalities that want to add the vending machines. The YMCA in Chippewa Falls already has three boxes of Narcan. One person was killed in a single vehicle crash in Bloomer over the weekend. According to the Chippewa County Sheriff's Office, law enforcement authorities responded to the crash on Sunday morning. Their initial investigation shows a truck was driving south on State Highway 40 when it left the roadway, drove over a driveway, and went airborne before crashing into an embankment and multiple trees. The driver of the truck was pronounced deceased at the scene, and authorities have not yet shared their identity. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers lose to the Royals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing 3-2 to the Royals. The threat of a severe thunderstorm forced moving up the start time of last night's game in Kansas City up by a half hour. The Brewers were leading 2-0 in the seventh when Pat Murphy made a controversial decision, sending in reliever Jared Koenig to the mound, who gave up a home run on the way to a three-run rally for KC.
I was second-guessing myself for not putting Koenig in there right now, knowing that it could be a shortened game with the weather coming. And unfortunately, we give up the home run and a two-strike home run, that non-executed pitch, and then they capitalize after that.
NFL, Jeff Hafley, the Packers' new defensive coordinator, met with reporters and talked about the team's new safety. He's the man they call X, short for Xavier McKinney.
Well, I'll just say it's been so nice to have X. What a pro. I mean, how hard he works, the communication, the way he is in the meeting rooms, the way he looks out for the younger guys.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high 69 with wind southeast at around 10 to 20. Tonight, mostly clear, 47. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. A few afternoon showers with a high right around 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't.
friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Alba Show. On our next episode, Todd's going to be back here in the studio on State Street, and we'll have Luke Mathers for another round of Tuesday Tangents, as well as some fresh Brewer tickets for you.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music for today.
Well, it was Leonard Cohen, another one of our people from Canada that provides us with a lot of good music. That was him himself. He's the next piece you'll hear will be the one he wrote that everyone knows about. But I thought that particular one was apropos for what we're talking about today.
So you and I are having a conversation today based on what, for people who are just joining us?
Well, we're talking about definitions, actually, about words. You know, words have become used so much by the media and by people to label us and to label one another. And I'm confused by the labels. I was particularly confused when I saw that the media was using the term leftist for the protesters that were pro-Palestinian protesters. And I wondered what was leftist particularly about that. And were the people who were protesting in favor of Israel leftists, or were they conservatives? I mean, I didn't understand the label as it applied there. Just as I think many words have become useful to politicians, but have become distorted in terms of what they mean. So that, for instance, even all the way to the point of make America great again, implied by that is that America isn't great right now. And I wonder what isn't great about America right now. I don't hear much discussion that actually delineates what it is, other than some problems for Tom, Dick, and Mary in America that need to be addressed probably by government programs and that aren't being discussed by the people who talk about making America great again and using that label to define themselves. So I'm concerned. I think we've got people who are labeled by others, and it's become the labels have all become pejorative terms, trying to differentiate us from one another so that we can have us and the others, and we can do anything we want with respect to the others.
So leftists, in countries that have multiple leftist parties, these distinctions are commonly understood. In the United States, they aren't. Because a binary view of liberals and conservatives dominates Americans' political ideologies, to the left of mainstream Democrats tend to get lumped together, which often means the left conflates democratic socialism and social democracy, and the right casts all of it as socialism or communism. Here in the United States, we are alarmed by new calls to adopt socialism in our country. President Trump said in his first State of the Union address this year, tonight we resolve that America will never be a socialist country. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First, I am a proud FDR Democrat. And if people would like to know what FDR stood for, it's what gave us Social Security and things like that. Sarah, I'm going to correct one thing because I know I always correct you on it, but it's sexual orientation, not sexual preference. I just want to make that clear because it sounds like we're, you know, just deciding for the day what we want to be. Also, the word socialism, which for some reason always goes with communism. If you ever notice, it doesn't matter, again, if it's the, first off, all media is corporate. It's not, MSNBC is not this liberal bastion of thinking. And it is the conservative party that said that, you know, their goal, their strategy is to divide and conquer, is what they said, divide and conquer the people. Which we, the people, are the government. And, you know, we're like lambs going to the slaughter with these people. I would say in terms of when he talks about right or left, the more right you go, the more you're going more towards authoritarianism. You're going more towards, you know, like somebody that just follows the leader and follows them right off the cliff. When I think of socialism or social democracy, I think of Social Security. I think of Medicare. I think of the roads, the bridges. You know, true socialism would be that we want to the government to make our tennis shoes for us. We want the government to make all means and production that we actually do. That is not anything that Bernie Sanders stood for or anybody on the Democratic side stands for. They do want social democracy, or which I think is a better word than democratic socialism, because we want the input from the people so we have a strong social safety net. And there is a difference between an economic system and a social system. So you could be, you know, it's almost more popular to be on economics to be conservative because you're thinking about things before you spend your money. Whereas when you look at, you know, more of a liberal way of spending or whatever it is, it sounds like we're not very responsible with our spending, which is not true. And when it comes to social issues such as LGBTQ rights, when it comes to those different things, I think that's just being a open person and allowing just to be a good person to everybody. It doesn't mean that you have to hate a certain group, and the conservatives have been pinned with that because they're the ones that do not want for LGBTQ plus, whoever it is, black people, whatever, they don't want for them to move forward because of their own insecurity and their own white, straight male-ism. But yeah, the Republicans are the masters when it comes to wordsmithing. The Democrats are not. We would like to have more of a conversation like that we're having today, but our media is lazy. We have media malpractice in this country because people are so darn busy working, taking the kids to school, doing all of these different things that they don't have time except for to listen to a 30-second bit or whatever it might be. So then you get the Republicans up there going,
So, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to
respond? Well, I do think one kernel there that he mentioned was the fact that conservatism today seems to be, the more conservative you are, the more you are leaning in the direction of authoritarianism and a very strong president, okay? And to me, that's one of the major ways that conservatism has morphed from what it was in the 1960s or 70s, because at that time, the conservatism smelled and acted much more like libertarianism, where government was supposed to be small, government was supposed to not be intrusive. And the main bugaboo that everyone has always talked about with respect to communism is that coupled with communism almost necessarily comes authoritarianism. If the government is going to own everything and operate everything, including the land, you almost by definition need to have an authoritarian leader in charge of that kind of a an organization, a social organization. And what was remarkably good about the sort of capitalists, a kind of an organization for a country, was that you would never need to have an authoritarian leader, that you would not have an authoritarian leader. And what surprises me today is the embrace of conservatives for the movement in the direction of a powerful president, authoritarianism.
Let me ask you, Sandy, today, are we living in a pure capitalist system?
No, absolutely not. I mean, like I said before, what we have today is a version of social democracy.
It's kind of corporatist, right? I mean, it's...
Well, we have a social democracy that doesn't have the kind of social safety net that almost all of the rest of the social democracies in the world have, okay? But we do have plenty of them. You know, we have Social Security, we have Medicare, we have all kinds of socialized things on the local in the local governments, in water, sewer, schools, parks, all kinds of things. But so we are not pure capitalism. And there is definitely a need, even going back to the father of capitalism, we need to have regulation. You know, we need to, Adam Smith identified the fact that we need to have government regulation to make sure that marketplaces work, so that the power of competition is there to make sure that markets work.
So when people push back against what people call capitalism still today, there are people on the left who say, hey, this is not capitalism. And yet people are called, you know, anti-American and anti-capitalist because they push back on what has been described as capitalism in this country. So when people see those things and hear those things, they kind of look at the other person and kind of, well, what are you talking about?
Well,
you don't even understand.
Well, the words are used to be pejorative. People who are capitalists don't necessarily call themselves capitalists. People who are socialists don't necessarily call themselves socialists.
Somebody else does.
It's usually a label that's right, painted on them. Neither one of them is well defined, and in our country, everybody is a blend of some sort. Even conservatives are a blend. I think there are very few conservatives who would want to have pure capitalism, okay, unfettered, completely pure capitalism as the system, meaning that everything was operated privately, owned privately, without regulation. So. You know, there needs to be this blend, and the blend needs to be rational, and the blend needs to be done on a basis that is best for the economy and best for the country.
So I will say, for those of you who are listening, we have taken this time out this morning on the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams, because this is an important conversation. And you may ask, why are you still talking about it? Well, because if people don't understand why we are where we are, there's no hope that things are ever going to get better. This divide that divides this nation, based on beliefs in many instances that are not true, then we're never going to get this fixed. Hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. It means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and you can join us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you?
I know this song.
It was written by Leonard Cohen.
The fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
All right. Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. It's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy, the music again.
Yeah, Rufus Wainwright, another Canadian, singing a Canadian song, Leonard Cohen. I just chose music that was all from north of the border. I've sort of found a bunch of people up there that I think are pretty talented.
All right, and so today we're talking about?
Well, we're talking about labels.
Definitions, right.
Definitions, political labels. Because political labels have come to be such an important tool used by politicians, and I think those tools tend to separate us, and we tend to separate ourselves with those labels without necessarily thinking them through or thinking how pertinent or accurate they might be in the context in which they're being used.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, and David from San Francisco. Good morning to you, David. Thank you very much for the call.
Oh, no trouble, Earl. And morning, Sandy. I agree with what Sandy was laying out there, but I'd add or maybe tighten it up by saying what the real attempt is, at least by the monarchists, is to destroy taxation with representation. So in other words, the aristocrats don't like representation given to the people. And taxation with representation was based on the little people are paying into the taxes, and every April 15th, they want to buy themselves something nice. Buy a nice school, buy a good swimming pool, buy a good parks, good libraries. And when the rich don't want to chip in, the rich don't want to invest, the rich don't want to take part in society, they just want to give orders. And so they've come up with a PR campaign to smear taxation with representation by calling it liberal, by calling it socialist, by calling it communist, by calling it anything else. But they're really just trying to rip apart taxation with representation. The rich aren't paying taxes, and they're buying Congress. So they're getting representation without taxation. And so I was just going to kind of lay it out that way.
Hey, David, I think that was very well said.
You know, it's very interesting. I was just reading a pretty long article that was dissecting where our tax revenue comes from. And obviously our tax revenue does come from people who have money, because if you don't have money, you can't pay taxes. So the top 50% of the wage earners in the United States pay 90%+ of the taxes. And they want to point at that and say, look, we, the rich, are paying a bunch of taxes because the top 50% of the wage earners pay 90%+ of all taxes paid. But the fact is that the top and the top 10% pay a wad too. But they, as you go up the income ladder, the percentage tax that you pay goes down. So that if you're a mega millionaire, the average tax rate that you're paying is much lower than the tax rate being paid by the median family who's at the 50% level of income in the country. And to me, that probably does smack of what you're saying, which is the more represented you are, the lower percentage tax you pay. The less represented you are in government, the higher percentage you pay. Because the rich have become very successful, as particularly marked by the tax cut during the Trump administration. The rich have become very good at securing for themselves a great deal of number of tax benefits that allow them to pay an average marginal tax rate. I think the average marginal tax rate of that top 50% is in the low 20% rate. And as you move up the ladder, if you're in the top 5%, that average tax rate will go down.
But he also talked about buying influence of the politician.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The influence is getting them this tax benefit in all likelihood, right?
Yeah, that's why they can do what they're doing. Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. You say what?
Hi, Earl.
Hello.
Everybody blames Biden administration for inflation. Okay, I don't know if you've noticed, but toilet paper, it's become a lot thinner, so you use more of it.
Yes.
Kleenex is a lot thinner, and you use more of that. Aluminum foil. Aluminum foil is so thin, to wrap something up in it, you almost have to use two sheets. And corporations, since I was a kid, I'm 78 years old, they have invested in other companies. They've bought out their competition, Heinz, Kraft, General Mills. All these big corporations have bought out competition and put more companies under their roof. There was just a thing on Facebook of how much money General Mills made and how they paid out their bonuses. And basically, corporations are screwing the consumers, and we're paying for it. We're paying more for less. And your oil companies, they're all making record profits, and who's paying for it? We are. Before they enacted that Paul Ryan's tax cut, corporations were being taxed at 39%. Well, I had a list of the 60 top corporations and what they paid in taxes. And the average for the 60 companies under the 39% tax were paying 18. Paul Ryan, his tax bill, cut them to 18%. Didn't take away the loopholes. So now we're paying the freight for everything, and corporations are basically paying nothing. And they are getting away with price gouging. And, they're smart. They've stirred up the uneducated voters, and people don't realize that this inflation is caused by price gouging by corporations. It's not caused by our government.
You know, Bob, man, you really, wrapped it all up in a package, and what you said, there's so much truth in that, Sandy. It does go back to the fact that many of the elected officials, corporations couldn't do these things unilaterally. There have to be laws passed to make it possible for them to do the things that they do.
Like I said, Adam Smith in his writings, Wealth of Nations, back in the late 1700s, wrote about the danger of having the businesses control government, because it would cause them to cause the government not to regulate the marketplace to make sure that there weren't monopolists and monopoly power. And, it's come to fruition.
844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines. It's Tuesday. It means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Weir. It's a fascinating discussion. And yeah, it's one subject, but I think it's a subject that's under reported. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear arguments over the city of Racine's use of a van to facilitate absentee voting during the fall primary in 2022. A Racine County judge ruled in January that using the van was illegal. He also found the van stopped mostly in Democratic-leaning neighborhoods. Today is World Asthma Day, and this week is Air Quality Awareness Week. Travis Knudsen is with the Lane Regional Air Protection Agency. He says vulnerable people might need to schedule their time outdoors this summer.
Maybe when our air quality is bad, we reconsider those outdoor activities and instead just stay inside with a HEPA air purifier running.
Wildfire smoke can cause GIs, coughing, and short-term breathing difficulty. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A new Richmond High School teacher has been recognized as a 2025 Wisconsin Teacher of the Year as part of Teacher Appreciation Week. According to a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, Rachel Savola was the third teacher recognized by State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley this week. Savola, an agri-science teacher, was credited with developing the students' opportunities with Agriculture Resources Education Center at the high school. She also manages the school farm. Camp Nowakwa has officially reopened after changing ownership over the past few months. According to a WEAU report, a nonprofit organization called Our Nowakwa purchased the camp and noted that they couldn't have done it without the support of the community. The organization hosted a grand reopening celebration on Sunday, including a ribbon cutting with about 200 people in attendance. The organization is also looking for interested volunteers with more information and a donation link online. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. In weekend box office news, it looks like moviegoers are smarter than critics, at least when it comes to The Fall Guy. The film was supposed to be the first big summer blockbuster, but the numbers at the gates suggest differently. The film opened with almost $29 million over the weekend. It was number one at the box office, but opened with a 50% lower take than Guardians of the Galaxy 3 in 2023. There might be hope on the horizon with the releases of the new Mad Max film and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes in the next few weeks. Brooke Shields is a team player when it comes to bearing all on screen. It was recently reported in the New York Post that the actress agreed to strip down almost to her altogether to make her co-star Benjamin Bratt feel less vulnerable. Shields told hosts on The View that she thought it was unfair Bratt was basically naked except for what's called a modesty sock, which was used to cover Ben Jr. No word yet on whether it took a tube sock, dress sock, or footie to cover Bratt's modesty. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high 69 with wind southeast at around 10 to 20. Tonight, mostly clear, 47. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, a few afternoon showers with a high right around 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matinair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday on Up North News Radio, our homeroom segment celebrates Teacher Appreciation Week, and Melissa Baldoff has our weekly climate check report.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
All right. Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is on board, and we've had a robust conversation that we're going to take all the way to the end of the hour on, you know, the definitions and defining people based on labels.
Wait a minute. You were supposed to ask me who that group was.
Oh, who was that, Sandy?
Well, guess who?
That's the guess who?
See, oh. This is like who's on first. Right?
Yeah.
But it is actually guess who. But I was hoping you would ask who, and then I'd say guess who, and then you'd say, well, no, tell me. Well, who is it? Yeah, it's guess who.
Yeah. Well, I can tell that voice. Yeah. The guy's got a very distinctive voice. Anyway, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. And Sandy and I decided that today's show would be spent addressing these labels that Americans find so easily to point at, you know, their neighbors. And so we can't agree on things because you're a guy from the left. You're on the left. I'm on the right.
Yeah,
not even understanding.
I mean, the one that really got me thinking about this was describing the protesters who were protesting about Palestine on pro-Palestine as leftists. When we've got people protesting that are pro-Israel and they're protesting as well, and are they rightist? And what's left and what's right here? Or the people who are for aid to Ukraine, or the people who are against aid to Ukraine? Are they right and left? And what's right or left about that issue? And yet we've tended to use that label to lump people together on just those kind of issues.
Well, when leftists are considered anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-family, anti-business, anti-Christian, and you can somehow say a person is that because you deem them a leftist, come on. I mean, that's a bit much.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is what's happened. I think the label has come to be a pejorative that allows you to ascribe to someone who fits within that label all kinds of negatives, any kind of negative. And I think we've probably done the same to the right. And we don't necessarily differentiate between moderate, conservative, far right. I mean, people, we tend to lump ourselves into large groups and then to ascribe to that large group some unity of thought that probably isn't there. But to the extent it is there, it's because I think some people have signed up. I'm a conservative. Tell me the litmus tests I have to pass to carry this credential. And on the left, we've got the same thing. Tell me the litmus tests I have to pass in order to carry this credential as a liberal. And we've got people staking out positions on things that are probably contrary to their own interest or not necessarily a matter of great interest.
So, Sandy, let me ask you, what's more hurtful to say people are anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-family, anti-business, anti-Christian on the left, but on the right you say, well, they're a moderate conservative, they're a MAGA conservative? Those, the definitions of the words that they use to describe people as liberals are far more hurtful than I think we can say that liberals trying to, define what a Republican or conservative is.
Well, I guess that's trying to figure out who are the bad guys in this name-calling process. And I would say that the right has been more effective in painting a pejorative picture of the people that they are name-calling than the left has been. But, you know, that doesn't mean that the left wouldn't like to be that effective. I just think they aren't as effective in terms of it. But I think the horror of this kind of labeling and this kind of name-calling is that you can use a term left and it can become a code term, a dog whistle, to include within it, without verbalizing it, this whole concept of, you know, if you call someone a liberal leftist elitist, it maybe carries within it a meaning to the people hearing the term as anti-American, anti-Christian, all these things that don't need to get verbalized very often for the message to be carried.
And especially, you don't even know the person. So you can give labels to people.
Right.
You know, not based on the fact that you know them personally. But let's go to the phone lines and Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what? Gary from Sussex.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, guys.
Go ahead.
Hey, Sandy said something this morning that the reason I'm calling is you said people don't really call themselves capitalists or they don't call themselves socialists. I really haven't heard anybody that describes themselves really as a capitalist or as a socialist. Well, Sandy, I give you some good news here.
You're a capitalist.
Gary from Sussex is a capitalist.
What does that mean, Gary?
Now,
what does that mean?
Well, I believe that I don't really think that the government should really own much of anything. I believe that people who work really hard should have a whole lot, and people who don't work really hard, well, then scoot by. But not to sit there and get government subsidies because they don't really want to work hard. Now, as far as these young kids, Biden wants to give all these kids pay off their loans. What I believe is if they're going to do anything, the people who put money into their retirement as far as Social Security, I think they ought to take that money, that billions of dollars, and put it into the elderly and help them out, because the young kids that are growing up now, my grandkids and my kids are going to run out of, there won't be any Social Security. And 2035 is when it really is going to end, you know? And then as far as you guys were talking about, and I do want to have a conversation on this, about big corporations paying only 18%. Well, you know what? My dad worked at Alzheimer's all his life. And I grew up on 13th and Reservoir. And we moved out to 96 and Burleigh because my dad made a good money, worked hard, and we got the American dream. Now, because of these corporations are making so much money, they're providing jobs for people like you, Earl, and your dad and my grandpa and that stuff. So, you know, I think that these big, gigantic corporations should be paying smaller taxes so they can build more plants and pay people a good wage.
Well, actually, I think the economic evaluation of what's happened with the lower tax rate hasn't been that it has led to investment by corporations. It has not increased the level of investment by corporations. And the fact is that the marginal tax rate of the large corporations didn't go down that much because there already were so many loopholes, as was pointed out by one of the callers. But you know, that's the issue. I mean, obviously our society and our economy is driven by private economic entities, by capitalism. And I think everyone favors that. And I think then the question is, what kind of infrastructure does the government provide? What kind of social infrastructure does the government provide to better support the economy and to better provide the workers that are needed for the corporations, the trained, talented workers that are going to particularly be required by large corporations in the AI future, the artificial intelligence future that we all face? I think that you, Gary, are probably not in disagreement with many people who would consider themselves liberals, okay? I think that the difference between you is probably very small, in fact, and that, you know, you talked about government programs to support those that are needy, and maybe if you rolled up your sleeves and evaluated that and got into discussions with people about what those programs are, you know, I think you'd realize, number one, that the government isn't spending such an enormous amount of money in those programs, and that those programs are aimed at people who possibly don't have options. But, you know, I think that labels get in our way for getting closer to one another in terms of discussion.
Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
I totally agree with Sandy that labels don't help anybody. But I'd like to make a comment on the difference between liberal and conservative. First, I would call myself liberally minded, but a conservative at heart. That's a progressive. And let me explain what I mean. I have many conservative values, faith, religion, family, all that kind of stuff that they seem to lean to. But they've lost their clarity because they've been captured by a faction of extremism. More Democrats are more conservative than people realize. They're the old Republicans. This has all shifted. It really started to make a major shift when Newt Gingrich declared war on democracy, where we were no longer friends across the aisle. We were enemies. He declared it. I think if we start understanding where we made the mistakes, we can actually make progress, especially like somebody like with Gary. And as Sandy said, and I quote, there's very little differences there with Gary and Democrats and democracy. The problem is this extremism, where a certain faction of the Republican Party that's captured 90% of it says, oh, we don't have to obey laws if we don't like them. We don't have to abide by elections if we don't like them. That's really the core of the problem. Thanks for the airtime.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Bill. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. A few things. The labels, I think one problem with labels is that people don't quite understand exactly what a fascist is or what a communist is. The politicians love to throw those buzzwords around, but people don't really know the definition of these. And now I'm hearing stuff, you know, where the Republicans are saying that Biden is a fascist, and they don't look at what's really going on. And the mega crowd will sit there and say, oh yeah, you're fascist, they're fascist. And they don't know what that means. Another thing about with like Gary was talking about with lowering taxes for corporations. Yeah. Back in the 50s and 40s, 50s, 60s, we had high corporate taxes, but in order for them to get a tax break, the corporations had to invest in the companies. They had to invest in new machinery, their people and everything, and everybody benefited from that. When they started lowering it, well, that's when corporations weren't bound by that. So what did they start doing? They started shipping jobs overseas because it was cheaper for them. It's a long process, but anyways, that's going back to the label thing. I really truly believe that people do not actually know the definition of these buzz terms that everyone uses. It just sounds bad. Therefore, it's got to be.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 is the number. We're going to continue this conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Don't give me no hand-me-down world. I got one already. Don't give me no hand-me-down. I don't really need, I'm not gonna take it. Don't give me no hand-me-down. Don't give it to me because I really don't want it. Don't give me no hand-me-down. I don't want to take it and I really don't need it. No.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The weather impacts everything, and the history of windmills includes using the weather. In this case, the wind, to help mill grain and pump water. The modern windmills that you see across Wisconsin today are often called wind turbines. These still use the wind, but now it's to produce electricity. And a new study shows that turbines can also lower the daytime temperature while keeping it warmer at night. The moving air protects crops from frost. It's a weather-ready fact. And Saturday, May 11th, is National Windmill Day. If you really want to celebrate, save June 5th through the 9th, because it's Windmill Days in Baldwin, Wisconsin, a celebration of Dutch heritage and the windmills in the village. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down. The
big, I love this one as well.
The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons
Gordon
more
Lightfoot.
Than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty.
Yeah, the Edmund Fitzgerald
was owned by NML, Northwestern
that
Mutual Life.
Was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, this is not going to go away. These labels that people are using to define people that they don't know. And I think it was CJ who talked about Fox News and I watch Britt Baer, so it's not like I haven't seen or listened to Britt Baer. I think Britt Baer is a quality individual who basically present things with balance. But he's one guy on the entire network, and we know what the network is geared to do. I just think, Sandy, that when we talk about, you know, labeling people that you don't know, it is a zero sum. And how can you label somebody who you don't know? You can only give your opinion on something or somebody that you don't know. You can't rightfully define who they are if you don't know them personally.
Well, the problem is that the labels have been used to define, and then once defined, the definition carries with it all kinds of implications and inferences, which are presumably negative by the person who is using the label, right? Most labels are applied by people who are trying to ascribe a negative inference to it when they label that other person, and they label them in a way that's negative, and these political campaigns have become more and more about condensing people into labels and condensing positions into labels and to establishing labels which can then be used as the litmus for the people following them, so that conservatives are against liberals, okay? By definition, that's a litmus. And then the question is, what's a liberal? Well, if you can paint that with a broad brush, you've accomplished a great deal. And I just fear that we need to step back and start thinking about issues and deciding on those issues without trying to ascribe to them whether they are leftist or rightist issues.
You know, Sandy, 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll try to get, Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. How you doing, sir? What do you think of the conversation?
Well, I think this, labels may not apply in some cases, but here is some characteristics of fascism. It has an authoritarian leader who claims the government's a disaster and I alone can fix it. It gives real control to the rich and rich corporations. It tears down democratic institutions like elections, courts, and law enforcement. Takes retribution upon political competitors, declares they're enemies of the state, seeks to silence political competitors by control of the media, and even calling the legitimate media enemies of the state. claims to be populist but destroys unions, workers' rights, and human rights in general, rewrites history with her own alternative facts, censors books, persecutes vulnerable social and ethnic groups, and creates as much chaos as possible from useless legislation and uses it to blame other groups for national problems. What party does this sound like?
Well, it certainly does sound like a movement within a party, and that is, I think, the fear of many people that there is a political movement now that quacks, walks, sounds like, looks like a duck, and might be a duck, and that is very worrisome because you're right. The playbook certainly looks the same.
You know, part of what Sandy and I attempt to do with this time that we have on the airways is to bring conversations and information that make you think. We're in a critical juncture in the history of this nation. Make no mistake about it. There is a man running for office who has clearly told you what he's going to be doing. Now, it's your choice. You have a right to vote for whomever it is you want to vote for. But I think it is important, as Sandy and I discussed doing this show this morning. We don't do radio like others. And I don't think, at least I know I'm not here to tickle your ears. You know, Sandy may be here to tickle your ears, but
oh gosh! No.
In most instances, we're concerned about this nation, where it's headed, the divide that is getting broader each and every day, and the disinformation that people are taking in, Sandy, that they may not be able to, you know, resist.
Well, I just hope that people start sifting information, okay? Sifting and winnowing through whatever it is they're reading, whatever it is they're looking at, listening to, watching, to try and understand it and to try and decipher it for themselves and to test themselves to see whether, am I just using a litmus test here or am I actually thinking this through? am I actually a conservative or does that label really matter? Or am I actually a liberal, or does that label really matter, or should I be thinking through each of these issues singularly and thoughtfully? And I think if you do the latter, number one, I think we could all come closer to reaching agreement about things.
So personally, I'm more than a label. You can't define me by a label. It doesn't matter whether people say that's who you are. I know who I am. And so all of us should be bigger than a label. And that's where I think we should at least send your thoughts.
Well, I think you're a Rolls Royce, Earl. And don't sell yourself short.
Hey, is there any resale value in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, as always, Sandy. Thank you for making the show go up next. And thank you, Calvin, as always. Thank you to the listening audience for continuing to support us. Up next, Jane Matinera and Greg Bach. Matinera on air. See you later.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Crude and Dom.
Donald Trump is interviewing the celebrity apprentices that want to be his vice president, and he's back in court in New York. Tune in, Devil's Advocates. All the coverage you need.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.